Subscribe to the Open's official YouTube channel to enjoy the best video content from golf's original championship, including official films dating back to 1970, full final rounds from past Opens, a range of compilations showcasing memorable moments, highlights from the 151st Open, and much more. Subscribe today to ensure you don't miss a thing. You're listening to the Open Podcasts.
Welcome to the 151st show with me, Di Stewart, and welcome to the stunning Royal Liverpool Golf Club, host venue of the 151st Open Championship. Now, the next 2 weeks, we'll be reintroducing you to the course at Hoylake. How? By playing the course and taking you through a hole-by-hole look at one of the great championship venues. And just as excitingly, you'll be able to listen to us run through the course on your preferred podcast provider or watch us on YouTube. So subscribe to the Open's official YouTube channel and check out the full show coming next week. I am delighted to say I have two fantastic guests helping me to look at the front nine in part one of our preview show, and indeed the back nine next week. They are a winner on the Ladies European Tour, Amy Bolden, and a man who played in six Open Championships during an illustrious career, Rob Lee. We have just played the course. You've stepped off the 18th green. Rob, first impressions.
Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. Love the changes. Love that little 17th hole. We'll talk about that. Really enjoyed it. Obviously, yeah. We weren't playing from the purple tees at the back because that's a different test. That's 7,300 and change.
So
we played a shorter version of the course, but really, really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Course, I think by the time we get to mid-July, is going to be mint.
Which is not far away. Amy, what about yourself?
Yeah, I loved out here. We're very lucky with the weather as well. I wasn't too much wind today, so it made it maybe slightly a little bit more easier, but really enjoyed it. The greens are in great condition as well.
Yeah, and what about your playing partners? How did they fare?
Di, you were amazing. Rob was
annoying.
I'm not going to say he won.
That's a word that actually does spring to mind. I'm joking,
you.
Rob. You're marvellous. It was great to watch you two play golf. It really was, striking it down the fairway. How different is the course set up to the AIG Women's Open in 2012?
We didn't play off the back tees today. Yeah. We played a little bit forward, which was probably more similar to what I played in 2012. I really liked the new changes. So that was kind of cool to see them. Hadn't played them before. But yeah, it's different.
It was very wet and windy and rainy.
It was not very nice, the weather, when I played here a few years ago. No, so it was a tough, tough test. I didn't play my best either that week, unfortunately.
Well, listen, it's a true test of golf. An Open Championship, you never know what weather you're going to get. I mean, we've had gorgeous sunshine today.
Yeah, we have. But I can see the greens being really good by the time we get to kickoff. And I think the week of the Open, the crowds will be mahoosive around here. And Wales is just around the corner. There'll be a lot of Welsh fans coming here as well.
Absolutely.
Particularly from the Bolden family.
Amy Bolden, your family will be here, no doubt. Now, a quote for you. Hoylake, blown upon by mighty winds, breeder of mighty champions. The words of golf writer Bernard Darwin. Not wrong about mighty champions. The list includes Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Peter Thompson, Bobby Jones, Walter Hagen and J.H. Taylor.
That's about as good as it gets.
The cream rises to the top, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's like I say, it's a very fair test. It's not gimmicky. There's no Mickey Mouse holes. You'll learn your corn out there, but if you play well, there's a way around this golf course. Even if it gets windy, there's a way to play it. It gives plenty of choices to the players that are right in the cauldron of the heat of an Open, but there is a way around it. And so if you know that teeing off, even in tough conditions, that if you have your best stuff, you can still shoot under par. That's something, as a good player, you relish.
Yeah. Amy, is there any coincidence that these great players have won here?
No, I think it's definitely a course where the cream rises to the top, as Rob said. Just got to stay out the bunkers, keep it on the fairway. Middle of the green is always a good option into all these greens. Stay away from them greenside bunkers and runoffs.
Oh, which I went into many today. But in 2006 and 2014, the last time the Opens were here, one of the main headlines, the lack of wind. Which changes the dynamic of the golf course, doesn't it? We've had a fair bit of wind today, but it plays its part, doesn't it, Mother Nature?
Look, every links course on the Open rotation, if there's no wind, the best players in the world are going to take it apart. That's the way it is. These courses are designed for wind and designed to be played if the wind is blowing into your face in a northerly or behind you in a southerly.
Yeah.
They're designed to be played in lots of different club choices, but you have to have a really good plan and stick to it.
Yeah.
I feel that's what you did today.
Oh, I did. Yes. Brilliant, Marcus. Yes. I did. Really?
Yes.
I thought you stuck to it. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. It was a poor plan and it worked all the way around.
That pretty much sums it up. But Amy, how important is your caddy when it comes to wind and the elements?
Absolutely, yeah. I think you've definitely got to have a good caddy that, you know, knows the game plan, because sometimes as a player you want to take shots on that maybe you shouldn't take on, especially when you see the leaderboard coming down the last few holes. There's a few, you know, risk reward, especially the tee shot off 18. So yeah, I think having a good caddy on the bag and sticking to that game plan is very important.
Absolutely. There have been quite a few changes to the golf course since 2014, which we will speak about. And Tiger in 2006 taking irons off the tee. I think he could pull the driver out once, didn't he, in the 4 days. Well, on our way to the first tee, we did bump into Padraig Harrington, and he shared some of his memories of that 2006 Open.
A couple of things about 2006 in particular. It was so burnt out so fast, when you put the club on the ground, yeah, it slipped.
What?
And so you couldn't ground the club close to the ball, so you had to kind of put it 4 inches behind because it was moving. And people would say, oh my God, why didn't everybody play like Tiger? We weren't able to. Nobody else could compete with that. It was the most remarkable way of playing a golf course. To decide to do it that way.
He hit the longest clubs in for the entire week.
By miles.
Yeah. Rob, Amy, on the first, this amphitheatre here, what do you guys see looking down the fairway?
All I see is a whole bunch of trouble. And I'm looking down there and all I can see is knee-high rough, four bunkers that you cannot go in because the bunkers this week are going to be so penal. It's very hard to get a line on where you actually want to hit it. Plus, first tee at the Open, yeah, grandstand packed, nervous.
Oh.
I'm not sure how you get it on the fairway. But the ball does fit, Amy. The ball does fit.
It does. I mean, it's a very daunting first tee shot. I think any tee shot in an Open Championship on the first tee is daunting. But it's just going to be really important to find the fairway around here. So yeah, trying to miss them bunkers. They look very penal down there.
Oh, my goodness. It looks treacherous to me. You've played in an Open here in 2012. You played in four Opens in total, six for yourself, Rob. I mean, I can only imagine the nerves, Amy, stood on the first.
Yeah, I'm actually not too far from home here either, so I had lots of support, which was nice. But
rent a crowd.
Exactly. Paid all my family to come watch.
That's
amazing.
But yeah, no, I think Open Championship's just my favourite event of the year.
Yeah. How do you handle the nerves, though?
Oh, it's good nerves.
Yeah.
It's good nerves, yeah. You want to be hyped up. If you come on here and you're flat, it's all over.
Yeah.
It's all over. Mm. It's good nerves. You're excited. You want to play. You're in an Open. It's a major.
What's it like putting the ball on the tee peg?
That's not a problem. Never been a problem. Yeah. It's not a thing. The thing I want to do is look up after I've struck it and see it flying straight down the middle.
Okay.
That's really the only thing I care about.
Perfect tee
shot. I wouldn't even care about you in that instance. I'm concentrating on my ball and that's it.
Yeah. What would you take off this hole?
Again, links courses, wind dependent. If it was into the wind, those bunkers are in play. The short bunker on the right hand side, you're still 190-ish to the front of the green from there.
Yeah.
So if you lay up, you're going to be at least 200 at the front of the green.
Yeah.
Imagine this place even more burnt out by the time we get to Open time late July.
Mm.
It's going to be very tricky to get your ball to stop when it's running so far at the point you want it to. That's what's so difficult.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to 2006. Padraig Harrington, who we've just spoken to on the first tee, was telling us your club would just slide when you put it down on the ground. It was so burnt out, Amy, back then.
Yeah, definitely. I think playing an Open Championship in middle of July, it's going to be hot. The weather's going to be a little bit warmer than it normally is. The grass burns out a little bit. It's just typical links golf. So,
yeah. What's the wind doing on this hole?
Not a lot, actually. We're here on a very benign, quiet day. If anything, it's helping slightly.
We're expected to play good golf, then.
We are not expected to play good golf, but we are going to play golf.
We are. I'm excited. Right, let's get to the tee. Come on.
Okay.
Oh, I haven't seen that. It's down the middle. It's a beaut.
Right, let's move on to the second hole, and its name is Stand. It's par four. It will play 453 yards. How did you approach this one, Amy?
You definitely need to hit the fairway. I can tell you, do not hit it left.
Yes.
The rough is quite thick over there. I thought in, you know, a lot of parts of the golf course it's not too thick, but definitely the left side of the second is.
Yeah. What about yourself, Rob?
You're sort of going to have to position your golf ball. You're going to have to figure where you want to hit it. And then depending on where the wind is, that determines what club you're going to have to use to get it there. There are three bunkers down there, one on the left, two on the right, around the 300 mark. Now, bearing in mind that there's a lot of release on the fairways, it'll be firm and running.
Yeah.
Working out how far you're going to pitch it and how far it's going to run to leave yourself just short of the bunkers, not easy.
Not easy. Yeah. I went left off the tee.
Yes.
And then I was short for my second. And then I used my putter. So I think the putter is going to be used a lot around the greens because the
lies are so tight, aren't they, Amy?
Yeah, there's a lot of runoffs around that green, especially over the back and to the right-hand side. There's two bunkers short left. But yeah, there's runoffs like from the front to the back of the green. So kind of positioning yourself in the middle of the green.
Yeah.
And that's a good chance from there.
How did we get on, Rob? What did you do?
Well, because the tees we were playing were more forward, I could blow it over the bunkers and then a wedge on and two putts. It was quite straightforward, really. But
really boring textbook. Golf, actually.
Yeah, but the main tees are 50, 60 yards further back.
Different ball game.
Different ball game. Yeah. We didn't play the golf course they're playing when we get to the Open.
It felt tough
we
enough, though. It really did. Now, the second hole used to be played as the 18th in historic Open Championships before routing changes. In 1947, it was the scene of a very famous moment as Fred Daly holed an incredible putt to win the Open. Sixty-seven years later, Daly's fellow countryman Rory McIlroy had a moment of his own on this hole, en route to a barnstorming start to the 2014 Open.
6 iron for McIlroy, trying to find this back left flag. Needs to land it right up in the heart of the green.
Coming down from the clouds. Oh, that's an absolute crackerjack. It's got to, isn't it? Oh, man.
Now, moving on to the third hole. This is the opening hole for the members. Here's a bit of background on the origins of this Hoylake layout and why this hole is called Course.
I'm Bruce Taylor. I'm the chairman of the Heritage Committee at Royal Liverpool Golf Club. Certainly, it started off as a nine-hole course set out by Robert Chambers and George Morris, Tom Rudd's brother. It was on land that we shared with the Liverpool Hunt Club. So it was basically, we had to sort of duck and dive between, you know, horse riding posts and stuff like that. So it was nine holes, but it was very quickly extended to 18. When it came here, it was a rabbit warren full of rushes and stuff, and you know, people wouldn't recognise it as it is today. And gradually, obviously, it got extended and it got changed. The interesting thing for me, actually, was that when we got our first lease from Lord Stanley, I think he only gave it to us for 30 years because he didn't believe that golf would continue. So that was only, you know, he thought a longer lease was stupid because it would go back to what it was before, which was basically a place of rabbits and horse racing. But clearly he was wrong.
So we're on the third hole. This hole is known as Course, coming off the back of three birdies, which is just lovely. This land actually used to be the Liverpool Hunt Club. And if you look at the pineapples just behind us, it depicts where the winner's enclosure was. So a little bit of history of the club. We've got the gorgeous, beautiful clubhouse on our left. Now this, Rob, this drive here, we've got internal outer bounds.
Yep.
Would the players take on this corner, or is it not worth it?
No, this is 426 yards long, wind dependent. They want to move it down there about 240 odd yards.
Right.
And then you turn a sort of half cock to the right. It's not quite an L, it's like a soft L. And then head towards the pin on the left, over there on the left hand side.
Yeah.
But yeah, just find the fairway. It'll be an iron for most players. Mm. Pretty straightforward. Taking on the outer bounds takes on... When the fairway's going across you, they're very narrow. You're never going to hold the fairway. So no future in that.
Yeah, there's no point, is there, really?
No, I think the fairways are too firm to be carrying the out of bounds and then stopping it before the next out of bounds. So, yeah, just playing up to that corner and having a good chance in.
Which is exactly what we're going to do. The mounds on the right-hand side, they are where the race course was many years ago because this was the Liverpool Hunt Club.
Are you into horses? Or?
I love my racing,
actually.
I really do. Okay. Yeah. Rob? What are you taking off?
3 iron for me because the wind is off the left and slightly helping, so it's a 3 iron.
Okay.
Pitch it 220, run it 20.
What about yourself, Amy?
I have a 3 hybrid in my
hybrid.
Hand. Yeah.
Okay.
3 iron's a bit hard to hit for me, so.
Fine.
I've got a little bit more forgiveness at this.
Yeah.
I have no idea right now.
You know what's funny?
Go on.
As we stood here, the wind's just changed.
It totally changed.
It's just come now
yeah,
into
might
our.
It changed to 3 wheel.
And now it's changed again, so it's kind of gusting around.
I can't wait for the Open.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
I'm going to.
What's a club of choice for you?
I'm going to go safe. I'm going to go hybrid.
Like
I'm going to follow Amy.
Like it, good.
Okay, let's give it a go.
Let's do it, yeah.
So third hole, Amy's, you've done the perfect tee shot. How far did you hit it? It was about two.
This was about 240 off the tee.
Okay, how far have you got left?
175.
I'm definitely not mentioning the outer bounds on the right where I've gone. Rob, you're slightly in front, but we're going to see Amy hit her shot.
Yeah.
A little bit of wind behind.
Bit of wind behind you. I think it's going to release quite a bit with it being downwind, firm. So I'm trying to pitch this just short of the green.
And, I mean, this is literally the perfect place to be, isn't it?
It's do you know, it's a bit of a nothing hole, really, because you haven't got any options from the tee.
Yeah.
There's no bunkers to avoid. You just keep it left of the out of bounds and move it about 240, 250 up there, and you're looking at a fairly straightforward shot into the green. But okay.
That's today.
Imagine if the wind is straight into your face. Different story.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Amy, give it a go. Let's see what you've got.
I'd say that's perfect.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
That is absolutely perfect.
Where's that? Oh, there's a little bit of sun that came up. No, I think that's been high.
That has gone 160 on the fly and it's released 15. You're 175
dead. Should you do a little high five? Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Well done. No out of bounds there. Great stuff.
Leave me hanging.
I'm always going to leave you hanging.
It's poor.
Now, we do not have to travel far from the third hole to get to the fourth tee, where we find the shortest par four on the course. Some say this is the first clear birdie opportunity, but it is worth noting that Rory McIlroy parred this hole in all four rounds in 2014. What did you make of it, Rob?
Again, it's wind direction that tells you what you need to do from the tee. The long hitters might even have a crack at the green. It's 367 yards.
Yep.
If they get a bit of down breeze, they might let fly with the driver. Mm. But the green's really well protected at the front. And if you get out of position in the rough on the right, getting your wedge to land on the green and stay there, it's not straightforward.
Yeah, I actually think this green is probably one of the smallest targets, even though it's you know, one of the shortest holes on the course. It's actually the smallest target to hit. It's surrounded by bunkers, lots of runoff areas again, and I think it's quite a difficult small target to hit, especially if the wind is downwind. I think, you know, sometimes it's nice to go in with a fuller shot.
Yeah, you were sort of hugging the left-hand side.
I was, yeah, the left-hand miss with a left-hand flag.
You gave it a mighty hug with two shots, actually, down the left-hand side. Mighty hug.
Not many, though.
It's actually a pretty straight hole.
Yeah.
Just at the very end with the green is it just kicks to the right. So that's the thing.
It does.
Yeah.
I feel like it's better to definitely miss it on the right-hand side of the green than go left near those bushes, which we were talking about.
Yeah, definitely a little bit more green to work with over on the right-hand side.
Look,
yeah.
It's an iron and a wedge,
It's an iron and a wedge. Make it simple.
And gun it, you know, it depends. It is a birdie chance. Distance-wise, it's
definitely
short.
It felt that. It really did. Now, even if you don't make a birdie on the fourth, another opportunity awaits at the next. You can go even better, as Tiger Woods showed in the final round of his winning 2006 performance.
Oh. Eagle three. Woods makes his move.
15 under par for Tiger Woods. Two clear of Ernie Els. Three in front of Chris DeMarco. Four in front of Andrews Romero, and now five ahead of Sergio Garcia.
The fifth, named Long, ironically, is the shortest of the three par fives here at Hoylake, just 520 yards from tee to green. I love this hole. I made par on it, I'm just reminding both of you. It's my first par of the day. Rob, what was the view like from the tee?
Again, it's a dogleg from right to left.
If
it depends which wind you get. If you get the right to left wind, it helps you turn it around the corner and it gives you a wider fairway to hit in effect. If it's turning right to left, you're going more up the fairway. If the wind's off the left, then you're coming more across the fairway unless you hook it. And it's hard to hook modern drivers, as you know. So it's all about the tee shot. Amy hit an amazing drive down there. 300 plus. Left her just a 7-iron into the green.
Oh, it was a beauty, Amy.
Oh, it was so good.
Did you like the view from the tee?
I did, yeah.
Sets
up well for my shape off the tee there. A little bit of a draw with the right to left wind. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Did you make four there? Or? I can't remember. It was five.
What did you make, Rob?
I had a bit of trouble on the green.
I made four.
Yeah, I know you did.
But drive 7-iron, Amy.
That was gorgeous.
Two perfect shots, just one club out.
It wasn't as windy on the front nine either, which we'll talk
about the green, it's a big green. It's 40 yards long, that fifth green. It's a massive green. And if you're into any sort of headwind, finding that putting surface into it is not straightforward. So it needs an accurate second for sure.
Yeah, there's a trio of bunkers on the right ready to catch you out, isn't there?
Yeah, the risk on this golf course is off the tee boxes all the time.
Yeah.
It's how much do you dare take on? How much will you bring the bunkers into play? And on this hole, how much are you prepared to just chop the corner off a little bit? So the risk is from the tee box.
Very dry, Amy, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, it's definitely releasing quite a lot.
We're getting close to the open. It's going to, you know, we're not expecting a lot of rain, so it's going to dry out even more. The rough's not going to probably grow much more, is it?
No, and the guys are so strong anyway, so I think the rough's not really a problem for them around here. It's definitely more the bunkers off the tee that are more penalising.
Yeah, do you like the fact that they've got these You like the runoff areas, Rob, to be
I do
creative.
Around the greens, no, very much so. And there's generally most greens have 5 or 6 yards that the ball can run off and find itself either on a really tight cut, tight pan lie, or then it rolls into the rough and it's hard to get the club that you want on the ball on the chip shot. So if you're a bit of a dodgy chipper, you can find some horrid ones around
you
here.
You can. Yes. It's a two-tiered green as a player. How do you feel about different tiers?
Yeah, I think, it gives a little bit more contour into the greens and, you know, you've just got to get the right pace, especially when you're going uphill. The greens can't get them too fast in case it's too windy. The uphill putts play a little bit slower, but I had quite a few downhill breeze putts today, which were extremely fast.
Really, yeah. Really tricky.
Yeah, it's a birdie hole, though.
It is.
Four and five, you're looking to make some progress there for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jordan Spieth. You're listening to The Open Podcast.
The One Club, in partnership with MasterCard, is the best way for you to get closer to golf's original championship. Enjoy amazing year-round benefits, including exclusive offers and competitions, opportunities to secure tee times at iconic open venues, increased chances of being successful in future ticket ballots. All this and more, only at The One Club. Sign up for free today at theopen.com.
From the first par 5 of the round to the first par 3, and there are a total of 4, the 6th hole is called New. It's 201 yards long. From the tee box, we're aiming at another two-tiered green with the top tier at the back. At the front as well, three really nasty-looking bunkers. What did you see off the tee, Amy?
I think definitely you can go a little bit right half of this green. Kicks in a little bit from right to left. If you miss the green left, it kicks further left. So definitely the miss would be right half of the green. It'll come feed nicely in.
Yeah, Rob, your thoughts?
I think the par threes are really nice around here. And you're kind of hitting out towards the estuary.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to play this hole into the wind. I think the par threes, if you can play them in level par for the week, you're ahead of the game.
Yeah, you're in a good place.
It's a really good
you?
Base to build a tournament over 4 rounds on if you can play the par threes in level.
Yeah, we've spoken to quite a few members actually going around the course, which has been great to get some little nuggets of information. The tip for visitors, take an extra club to take the right-hand side bunker out of play and allow the slope to carry it to the middle of the green. Pros obviously don't need to worry about that, do they?
No.
That's like a video game. Yes. That sounds like a video game. That's real life. Not
that
like
was
that.
A top tip from someone here. Mm. I really like the look of the 6. Having stepped off 18, I can remember the par threes, and I always think a course that's right up there sticks in your mind if you can remember key par threes and key holes. Rob, do you ever step off a course and think, oh, it was bland, boring, but you don't do that with this place?
No, you don't do that in general with open venues.
No.
You know, they're all so nuanced and they're all so famous. We know them all. It's just great to be back here in this part of the world, yeah. We're looking at the grandstanding around here. Massive crowds are going to be here. Massive, massive crowds.
Yeah.
The whole place will look like an anthill. It'll be amazing. And it's going to look much blonder. It's quite green now.
Yeah.
It's going to look much blonder when we get to 6 weeks' time, 5 weeks' time. It'll have that burnt out look.
Amy, there's some amazing vantage points here, aren't there? And you can just imagine that the crowd's going wild on different greens.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good points in the middle of the course as well where you can get a good view of quite a few different holes. So lots of really good viewing points out there.
Telegraph is the 7th hole and the longest par 4 of the front 9, 481 yards. We had a quick sausage roll and then went to the tee because we managed to get to the halfway hut was after 6. 250 yards to reach the fairway. Imagine that into a strong wind. You hit a great drive.
I did, off the forward tees. It wasn't quite 250 yards to carry the fairway for me, but from that back tee, it's a great view. You can't really see much of the fairway, which I think makes it quite difficult.
Yeah.
So really getting a good line and picking something out that you can aim out.
Now, if the wind is the other way, prospect of gorse on the right-hand side and pop bunkers either side of the fairway.
Yeah, it's not an easy driving hole. And yeah, the two bunkers are to be avoided at all costs.
Yeah.
And you know, what, 250 to reach the fairway, something like that?
Yeah. That's it.
Even into a two-club win for these players, that it won't be an issue. But, you know, if it was to get really horrid and cold and rainy, and that might be something into the wind.
Second shot, larger. There's more room on the right-hand side of the green, Amy.
Yeah, I think there's not too much trouble around this green. There's obviously the two bunkers short left of the green, but You know, it's quite a wide green, this one. I think there's definitely an opportunity around this hole.
Hole 8 is Briars, par 4, 436 yards. Plotting your way to the green, Rob, what do you do?
You don't go left. There's all sorts of horrible gorse and rubbish down the left-hand side. Yep. It's tight. It's a narrow channel, the whole fairway, really, to be honest. And you need to be more left than it looks from the tee. You need to be slightly more towards where you don't want to go to find the middle of the fairway.
Yeah.
Two bunkers down the right-hand side, again, shouldn't be an issue for these players, but you can't go in them.
No, you really can't. The recommendation is, as Rob said, to help with your sight of the flag, is to hit up to the two fairway bunkers on the right-hand side. That's the game plan, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is a shortish par four for the men, and it's quite a big green. They're only going to be going in with a wedge, so birdie opportunities on this hole.
This green has not got much going on it. It's pretty flat. There's not too many swales and hollows and bumps in it. So in terms of where you are on the green, it's not going to make too much difference. Okay. Get it as close to the hole as you can. Again, avoid the bunkers down the right.
Avoid
the bunkers down the right.
And
depending on the breeze here,
one of the drives of the day was your drive on eight. It was right down there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of chased down there. You know, it was fast running. It just ran along.
That's what we want. We want a fast running drive right down there. So the ninth hole, Dowie, par 3, 218 yards this one. Before players make the turn for home, it's the final par 3 on the front nine. On the ninth, you are parallel to the coastline for the first time on this course. Hard to get close to the pin on this green, Amy.
It is. It's quite a narrow green. It's long. It's nearly 40 yards long, but it's quite narrow. Mm. So it's 218 yards long, which is, you know, depending on the wind, I think is quite important. But yeah, it's a couple of clubs different from the front to the back of the green.
Yeah, especially when the ground is firm, Rob.
Well, you can see everything. There's nothing hidden about this ninth hole. You can see absolutely everything. We played it into a headwind today, which the members say this is not the normal wind. That may well be playing downwind. Then it'll be very, even at that yardage, 218 yards, it'll be a very short club for these players. Mm. So yeah, it's another one. Look, par three. Make your three, move on.
Yeah. Stay out the bunkers.
Yeah.
So you found the green. What are the surfaces really like? Well, we got to grips with a very difficult putting surface on nine. So we've just completed nine holes, and Amy, we can actually see Wales, your home country, from where we're stood. The coastline goes down our right-hand side.
Yeah, it's not too far away,
Hello.
Just across the water.
Can you feel it pulling you in, or is it repelling you?
Oh, no, it's pulling me
it's
in.
It's pulling you in.
Yeah, of course.
We'll start singing in Welsh soon. It's such a glorious sunny day.
You're Tom Jones.
And no, I'm not. Okay. Rob, you've been playing some wonderfully. Both of you have been playing brilliant golf. What do you make of the greens and the areas around the greens?
Yeah, I like what they've done. I mean, the typical links, when you look at the greens, they look kind of a bit patchy. The fescue grasses that are on the putting surfaces always give you a kind of mottled look.
Yeah.
But when you get to go time at the Open, they will be perfect to putt on.
Yeah.
And they're never going to be that quick because you might get a 25 mile an hour breeze. So the course is going to be playable.
I've been putting into the wind a couple of times. I've left it way short. And also I've been putting from off the green as well because there's such tight lies, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of little runoffs around the green as well. So I think sometimes the easiest option is to putt it from, you know, these tight lies.
I absolutely love the greens.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. They're running true, beautiful. The contours,
A lot of them are up. And that makes it a challenge in itself because you know that if you're coming towards the edge, you're going to go, and away you go down a swell. So that's
I've
always challenging.
Have you experienced that?
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah.
A sort of roller coaster, that, wasn't it?
My round is a roller coaster at the moment. Putting wins prizes, that's no doubt. But the man responsible for course setup here at Hoylake believes only the best assets can win here.
My name is James Bledge and I'm the links manager at Hoylake. So I'm responsible for all the agronomy on the golf course, the day-to-day planning and the future plan as well, long-term planning and working towards the Open, working with the likes of Ian Furnow and Grant Moyer on course setup and structure, infrastructure to make sure that everything runs smoothly for the event and we get the surfaces that we want. I think the winner will have to be a fantastic putter and a very good green reader between him and his caddy. And we really do want to have it hard and fast, you know, with really fast runoffs, cut down nice and short and slick, cut often and possibly even rolled. Good green speeds of 10.5 feet, nice firm conditions all the way through. It's all about trying to emulate what Gordon did this year up at St Andrews with having dry greens at the last minute, you know, and having really good turf health at the same time and making it really bouncy, fast and firm. It's the way links golf is supposed to be played.
So there we go, guys. We're through the front nine. What have you made of it so far?
Look, I think we've made it. We've oversimplified the golf course. I think with no wind, there are going to be low scores around here. No doubt about that. But if you get a 15, 20 mile an hour breeze around this links, it's not going to be straightforward. It's 3,500 yards long, that front nine. Not especially long, you might think. Yeah. But as we know, there's bunkers protecting each fairway, mostly left and right. Not everybody's going to hit it straight down the middle. They'll have the problems. So yeah, I want the course to have wind. And it needs to have wind. Otherwise, we'll see 66s, 65s, 64s. We'll see that.
Amy, would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a very scoreable golf course without the wind. And I think what makes it more difficult is the holes go in all different directions. There'll be a lot of crosswinds, which makes it a lot more difficult with them bunkers protecting the holes.
Yes. I mean, smart plays. So important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you can play this golf course a number of different ways. You can either be aggressive and try and take the bunkers out of play and try and carry them if you're a longer hitter, or you can, you know, play a little bit more conservative and laying up into the bigger parts of the fairways.
The Tiger Woods plan is not available for most people. it isn't available, so they are going to have to bring risk in to get themselves into a good position to have a go at the golf course.
Yeah.
You know, what Tiger did is, as Podrick said, it's an outlier. It's just not doable. Mm. So there is going to be risk from the tee boxes for those that have good scores. They'll be taking on some of those bunkers.
OK, so that is the front nine. We'll be back with part two of our Hoylake course preview next week as we take on the back nine. Make sure to subscribe to The Open Podcast via your favourite podcast platform so you don't miss that.
This has been an original audio production from The Open.